started playing everywhere he goes, just phenomenal. And the house is full, people want to hear rock. So they timidly asked us, would you fancy sitting in an arco? I thought you'd never ask. You know, without like a shot.
Let's hear it for Don Airey, everybody. And Mr. Roger Glover from Deepo. Roger and Don came to Nashville to record with Bob Ezrin. You guys worked every day, and you still came out to shows just to hang, and you still came out to play. And I'm fairly certain, I'm speaking for the entire room when I say this, that I'll never forget these shows as long as I live.
Yes. Guys, thank you very, very, very much. We're honored to call you friends, but it's also an honor to play music with you. Thank you very much.
There's only one reason why we're here. And you look at them. These people on stage, what a band. Aren't they great? Aren't they great?
The great Roger Glover got up on stage, and I could see grown men with tears streaming down their face. You know, seeing something they'd grown up with, seeing the guy who wrote it, playing it. I'm playing it like there's no tomorrow as well. He didn't hang back, Rog. Well, he never does.
Roger Glover, Don Airey, Deep Purple, Purple. Guys, thank you very much.
Very few places still left that are like this. This is like stepping back in time. To when all the pubs, every pub in England, when Scotland, Wales, they all had a kind of a night, they had a rock band. And that's how we played, you know, in the 60s. And that's still happening here.
Rehearsals and writing over, it's finally time for Purple to begin recording the album. They're moving across town to one of the best studios in the world.
We've done enough albums in weird places, basements of houses, 11th century castles, back rooms of whatever. For us, I think it was important this time that we got a really good sound to the album. Forget the songs. The sound had to be important as well.
Short of Abbey Road, I can't think of another studio that has the dimensions and the quality of what we found in Nashville at the Tracking Room. And for what we're doing, the Tracking Room is even better than Abbey Road because it's a live room. And it's even bigger. Not as tall, but it's a bigger room.
Well, one of the things that we had talked about, you know, as we did it the last time, we'll get these very, like, properly arranged takes, get it exactly as we rehearsed it, mm-hmm. and then we're going to do some go-crazy takes for Pacey. And that's what we did the last time, and I just took the best bits of those, right?
Yeah, cool.
So that we could do the double bass drum then.
Yeah. I'd love to hear what it sounds like, you know, just that's
I think it'd be cool.
When you're working with a band like Deep Purple, one of the great things about them is the excitement of them playing together. And so we intentionally create a situation in this studio where they can. They're on the floor together. We don't cut like bass and drums and then add a guitar and then everybody plays. Everybody hears everybody. They see each other.
I really like that. There's something kind of magical about having the excitement of the moment captured when everybody's playing together.
When you perform live, you feed off each other. You're not just thinking of your own part. You hear someone else doing something and you support it. It's a good process. It's an experimental process, if you like.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make a rock record. Right, everybody there?
Yeah. Fantastico.
We'll be right back.
love that too. I love whatever happened there on the end. Woo! Oh, that was great.
I think what Bob Ezrin was trying to do was, he said, I want to capture the sound of four lads playing. Well, four lads all in their 60s, you know, here we are.
Capturing it in its moment of creation, you know, that's it. Not trying to do it 18 times, you know. First two or three takes, everything comes from that, where they're still thinking freely, and you just go for the best one you got. Perfect? No. But perfect, yes.
Okay, it all sounds really good, and everyone's playing really well. So let me ask you a question. Do you guys have one more of these in you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I have very many more.
Okay. Pacey?
Yeah?
Phil's everywhere.
All right.
Just play with abandon. You've got your safe track.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Slaving over one track for 3-4 days, I mean, everybody goes mad, and it usually ends up a crappy track, just because you're so bored with it. He's in the control room, and he's nodding his head, and he's shaking, and he's doing, and you go, got it, move on. He won't let you mess around, you know.
That's what I'm talking about. That's my Deep Purple. I love that. Good?
Frightening.
Good, okay. It's supposed to be time for Bedlam. It's supposed to be frightening.
Gary.
Beautiful. Okay, onwards and upwards.
Great playing, by the way, Don.
Nice sounding.
Good sound.
You know, I could listen to some of these things over and over again. They're amazing, amazing players. But they have this kind of ensemble understanding that maintains the Deep Purple sound, if you like. They've got all the textures and dynamics in which the music is rooted.
This is a group of amazing musicians, just like impeccable, amazing musicians. Every one of them is a virtuoso on his instrument, and they're all brilliant. They're crazy, but in a wonderful way. And when you put them all together, you end up with this exciting, dramatic, but virtuosic kind of performance. The personalities are very different but very complementary. So you have one of everything you need here, and it does not just in terms of who plays what instrument, but also in terms of, you know, who's the stubborn one, who's the easygoing one, who is the intense one, who's the happy one. You know, it's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, isn't it? Slightly, except they're very tall.